Yeah. Look who's back. Who's the new guy? It's only one day. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Nice to be here. Very obviously, if I'm missing a Monday show coming off a weekend like that, I've got a very good reason to do so. You know my deal. You know that if I don't have a scheduled vacation day, if I'm missing a day without any forenotice, and I did give you forenotice, but if you weren't listening and all of a sudden you show up looking for me and I'm not here, there's probably a very good reason. And there was. And the reason was not I woke up and decided, yeah, not feeling it, not coming to work, not doing it, don't feel well, got a headache, got a sore throat. Nope. I had a much better reason than that, and I will get to it a little bit later on. In the meantime, I'm just trying to reset myself. I mean, damn, Weber, what'd you do around here? Besides pick me up. Hey, listen, this is not an easy show to do. Not for somebody who's done it every single day for 30-plus years, and certainly not for somebody who steps in on short notice to do it. So, be Web. Attaboy. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I just have to get my... It's like when you sit down in your car after a valet or somebody else has driven your car and changed all your settings. You got to fix everything. So, you might say, hey, Rome, why didn't you do it earlier in the morning? Good point. Fair point. But if you know anything about me, and New York had to learn this the hard way, I roll in at the last second because I use every available moment to prepare for the program. All right, speaking of which, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead and use it right now. If there's something you want to hit me up from over the weekend, go ahead and call. Phone lines are open. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Social media is always good, and you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Yes, we can go back and talk about the weekend. Always important to look ahead, but because I was not here on Monday, and there were so many amazing things, including the Derby. Yes, I will cover the Derby, one of the most amazing things I've seen, not only in horse racing, but in sports. Like, I'll be very straight with you about this. Regarding the Kentucky Derby, I didn't know any of those people. I didn't know the horse. I didn't know the jockey. I didn't know the trainer. I didn't know the owner. I'm in the business. I've been in that business. I didn't know any of these people. And yet I watched the race again this morning and I got crazy goosebumps all over again. And I know, now I know them and now I know their story. I know the whole thing now. But I'm being very transparent. I didn't know any of these people and I got goosebumps. It was an amazing thing to see. Even this morning, it was still amazing. So I'll recap that. Also, big night in the Octagon over the weekend. So yes, this is the rare Tuesday where we can look back on the weekend because I was not here yesterday. You have permission. It is still smack off season. I would love for somebody to come in here and do something. Rip a golden ticket. 1-800-636-8686. And regarding the race, I mean, there's so many different amazing things about that race. I know a lot of you want to know why the winner was biting on the pony on the way back to the winner's circle. I will give you my thoughts on that. And whether or not that's okay or not, if there's somebody to blame or nobody to blame, was it as bad as it looks? Is it common? You know, for a lot of you who only watch horse racing once a year, thanks, Alvy. A lot of you only watch it once a year, so things happen. You have no idea how to make sense of any of it. It doesn't make any sense. Jungle Tourette's. There it is again. So I will talk about that. All right. Now that I've set it all up, I actually want to talk about last night. It doesn't make any sense. Thank you, Alvin. Alfred, Joel, Horford, Reynoso. If we're starting this show with somebody's government, you know something happened. Years from now, when people look back and say, who was the first genius to master time travel? That will be your answer. Because Al Horford just Marty McFlyed the hell out of a game last night. And may have saved the Celtics season in the process. Certainly saved them in that series. May have saved their entire season. You lose last night and the Celtics are done. DOA. They'd be down 3-1 and they're not beating Milwaukee three straight. However, they don't have to worry about that because Al Horford quantum leaped about 10 years back and carried them to a win, and that series has a totally different look and feel right now. He had already been a presence in that series, but he went to a new level last night when he had 30 and 8 rebounds when Boston needed it most. That was his first 30-point game in 3 years. That was his first 30-point playoff game ever. And if you want to know the exact moment when my man hopped into the DeLorean, I will tell you what it was. It was right here.
Bounce pass goes right to Holiday. Holiday will feed it off now to Giannis going the other way. Giannis taking it all the way to the rack. Send it down, big fella. The facial going the other way, and Giannis is maybe going to get called for a technical here afterward. He threw it right over Horford, and a little talking after the fact, he got a technical.
All right, so that right there was a fascinating moment. Giannis throws down on Al, looks at him, says something, and forget for a moment that it may have been the softest tee in NBA history. But while it was a terrible look for the officials, again, it was actually an enormous moment for Al Horford because you saw his response. The question was, what was he thinking in that moment?
Yeah, I don't really know what he said to me, but the way he was looking at me and the way that he was going about it really didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me.
All right, so we're talking about one of the classiest guys ever. Al Horford is one of the classiest guys ever. Just so we're really clear on this, he is not the kind of guy who calls out other players. He just doesn't do that very much. So you know if he says that something flipped in him when it happened, then something flipped in him when it happened. You know who else knew that it was a mistake immediately? His sister. Al's sister, Anna, tweeted, quote, "This is where the Bucks bleeped up. I know that look. He was pissed." End of quote. That's a great tweet from his sis. And he was pissed. And he did go off. And if you don't believe that Giannis got Horford going, ask the freak's face after this dunk.
Horford gets by Giannis and throws it down. And one. Al Horford. A primal scream. And Giannis on the deck. Chance at a three-point play for Al Horford.
That was an amazing moment, and whatever you do, you may want to, but don't come up in here and ask for a drug test for Al, because that's not a PED. That is straight wizardry, and you really can't test for that, right? I mean, if that's not witchcraft, then what else is it? How else can you explain it? Because I know I can't. Let me give you some perspective. Normally, I don't like playing this game, but this game is actually paramount right here. It's important. This is 2022. Al Horford won an NCAA title 16 years ago. That title is so old, it can now drive. Now, I get this all the time now. Yo, Rome, you're a legend. I grew up watching you on TV. I don't just get that, but I get that from like 45-year-olds. That said, Al has been around so long, I feel like I'm the one who grew up watching him on TV. I mean, do you ever remember a time when Al Horford was not around, much less doing the bleep that he's doing right now? This guy played with Joe Noah, who is retired. This guy played with Corey Brewer, who's already coaching. This guy was at Florida when people still cared about Tim Tebow. That's how long ago that was. Tebow has tried and failed to have a career in multiple sports and multiple positions since then.
Timothy Tebow.
But Horford is still out here carving up the Bucks defense and the time-space continuum in the playoffs. He was 6-for-6 for 16 points in the fourth quarter alone. He's the oldest Celtic to drop 30 in a playoff game since John Havlicek did it back when the league had part-time real estate agents playing. Havlicek did it so long ago that Horford wasn't even born. He wasn't even alive at that time. So I'm not going to say that Al Horford came into the NBA a long time ago, but Ty Lue was one of his teammates, and Ty won an NBA title as a head coach 6 years ago. Al and Mike Bibby were teammates before Bibby turned into Aaron Donald. The crazy thing is, people thought that Horford was washed when he was in Philly 2 years ago. and then he spent a year in exile in OKC. He wanted out of Philly so badly and initially thought that going to OKC would be good until he got there and realized it was OKC. Then this offseason, Boston brought him back in a salary dump. I guess what I'm getting at is, if the reinvention project was a basketball player, it would be Al Horford. And after seeing him last night, I am all in on everything this guy's doing. I see that last night on the road against the defending champs with the season on the line, and I want to get this guy on the show because he is the very definition of reinvention, transformation, living your best life, and being the best version of yourself later in life. Like, I so badly need to pick this guy's brain because what I'm seeing from him is incredible. Not only the ultimate pro's pro, but this dude literally has figured out a way to spin the clock in reverse, and I have to know how he's doing it. Because he was out there hitting the seas with the paddles when they were in big, big trouble. Milwaukee had a double-digit lead. Time Lord was on the bench with an injury. Jaylen Brown and Grant Williams were both in foul trouble. Jason Tatum could not buy a bucket. That had 3-1 series lead written all over it for Milwaukee. And Milwaukee knows it. Milwaukee knows they let that get away. They know they blew it. And as good as that was for Boston, it really was that bad for the Bucks. I know it's only one loss for the Bucks, but it had to feel like two. Because they were this close to ending that series. Then they got ended by a dude who played in the league with Dikembe Mutombo. And Mutombo is old enough to be my dad.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Well, maybe not that old, but he is 55. So that's brutal. This is why, for all the talent that the Bucks have and a ring, there is still a faction that will never fully trust the defending champs because stuff like this happens with them. They let Joe Noah's college teammate go off. And it wasn't just what he did on the offensive end. He held Giannis to 4 of 12 shooting. Nobody can stop Giannis defensively. Nobody. Nobody except Al Horford. He can. He did. And then he was blowing by Giannis on the other end, viraling him and saving the Celtics season almost single-handedly. I'm telling you. The game was dead and buried, just like Al's career in some people's eyes, and he resurrected his team and himself, and it was impressive as hell. I guess what I'm getting at is, man, give this guy some bleeping credit, for real.
For real.
I don't know, like when I talk about the reinvention project, it seems like Al wants his next 30 to be his best 30 years, and he's succeeding. It took Al all of 6 seconds to flip that switch to default aggressive. He didn't just dunk on Giannis, he dunked on Father Time. Al put a sign on Giannis's forehead that said, "Welcome to Pound Town." I guess what I'm saying is, Al did to Giannis what the pantry does to me several times a week. Kick my ass. Al's out here teaching a masterclass on ass-kicking. And Giannis, like, getting suspended, sent to detention hall, staying after school. And now he's got to tell his dad he's changing majors and needs to stay a fifth year.
Didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me.
That was the thing. I got a text from Jake Rome, who informed me that he completed his junior year yesterday. I'm like, attaboy. Because I informed my old man that I would be requiring a fifth year. And I thought he wanted to slap me. That was not okay with him. 1-800-636-8686. Hip hip hooray, Jake. Hip, hip, hooray. Now he's got to figure out how to get your kid brother into college. All right, so what I still want to get to, I want your reaction. I was not here yesterday. I have a very good reason for not being here yesterday. I want to recap the Derby. I want to talk about Michael Chandler over the weekend. Oliveira looked incredible. Where does that leave Conor McGregor? Nate Diaz is calling guys out. Lots to get to. Will Brinson is coming up at 9:40. Kevin Weeks, top of hour number two. John Morosi in the third hour.
Hey, John.
And more. What do you say I ask you a quick question? Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Why don't we start with the fact that it is owned and manufactured by a family business, or a family that's in business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. The other thing is, I think a lot of you still go to the store, reach for a bag of jerky, and think it's all the same. Like, beef jerky is beef jerky. Very bad take. Nothing could be further from the truth. You want to make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, because they use just the best ingredients. Plus, it comes in four amazing flavors. I like them all equally. If you're not sure which one, pick up one of each. They're in 4 ounce bags. If you know exactly what you want, get the 18 ouncer, the big boy. That way you've got enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, just ask for it by name, because when it comes to beef jerky, when it comes to Old Trapper, nothing compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Keep your car looking at its absolute best year-round with 303 cleaners and protectants. 303's revolutionary graphene nano spray coating gives you professional protection. In a simple-to-use spray formula, it will keep your car's paint protected for up to 1 year and give a crazy level of depth and gloss. You can also use their brand-new 303 graphene detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine throughout the year. It can even be used for quick cleanups of light dust and fingerprints in between washes. For a 1-2 punch, keep your car looking its best. Look no further than 303's line of graphene products. 303 graphene nano spray coating to protect, and 303 graphene detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine. Both are now available at Advance Auto Parts, AutoZone, and select Walmart locations. Go to 303radio.com for more information. This says, Dear Rim Jome, yesterday was the literal worst day of my life when 10 o'clock came on and you were not on the air. I hope you enjoyed your vacation, riding your hog to Wisconsin or wherever. Signed, Drew Mills. Yeah, Drew, I doubt that that was the worst day of your life. No! The literal worst day of your life. I mean, come on with that. No! And I've got a bunch of those too. All right, so you probably are wondering how I miss a Monday show coming off a weekend like that, right? These guys, a lot of you are like, hey, how was the beach, yo? How was it on that hog, yo? Hope you enjoyed that vacation day, yo. I mean, come on. You have to be wondering why I'm missing a Monday show, right? I never miss a Monday show. But it's a fair question. Like, where were you? How do you miss that show? Especially given how many weeks you know you're going to get Rome in the summer. I get it. I understand that. Just know this. It's not like I had a choice. Yeah, I know. Come on, Rome. You always have a choice. Yeah, not always. I mean, I guess I could have ignored that jury duty notice the way so many of you apparently do. No disrespect intended, which means that a number of you are about to be disrespected. However, if one of you randos decides not to follow through on your call to serve and you get nailed for it, that's the equivalent of a tree falling in the forest. None of us will know. None of us will hear it. None of us will give a damn. However, if I try to pull something like that and I get nailed and you do hear about it, I'm the most hypocritical D-bag ever. Now, I know a couple of you smart alecks are thinking, you are anyway, Rome. To which I would say, you're entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong that opinion is. However, if I just ignored my jury duty notice and I did get nailed, then you would be right. I would be a hypocritical D-bag. So, I was not going to do that. We have a justice system. While not perfect, it does need to have jurors to function. And I'm no better, I'm no more important, I'm no different than anybody else who gets the call. So, of course, I went. Now, was I one of those people who was super curious to see the inside of the courtroom? Was I one of those people who was really curious to see how that process really works? Did I need a few days or even a few weeks away from you clones? Is that what I wanted? Honestly? Hell no. Not during smack off season, not during any season. Now, would I have done it if called to duty? Yes, because that's the right thing to do. But did I want to do it? Do I have a need to experience that particular thing? No. No. Just being real, I didn't have this great curiosity. I didn't have this need to know. But I did the right thing. So let me quickly lay out the day for you. They get you in there at 7:45 sharp. They sit you in this big room. They give you some instructions. And then weirdly, I thought, this judge rolls in. And my man is really comfortable and really happy. I didn't expect that at all. Like a really personable dude, a judge. And this judge, an actual judge, does like this stand-up for like 15 minutes where he loosens everybody up. He's telling us all about himself and his background and his history. And then in so many words says, yeah, I know. In so many words, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, I know, I know. With the exception of a few of you losers who really have nothing better to do, none of you want to be here. Even some of you other losers who also have nothing better to do don't want to be here and are stuck here. So the judge is like, I get it. I get that. But, and now he's really into the sell, but you're really not stuck here. You may have no choice, but you're really not stuck here. In fact, you really don't have to be here. You get to be here. And it's actually, right? Fire. And it's actually pretty cool. And here's why being a juror is awesome and important and something you will always remember and why you'll be making a big difference, etc., etc. And then my guy lays it all out, and he's laying it on pretty thick. And then they show you this predictably cheesy video that looks like it cost them maybe 10 bucks to make from like 20 years ago. And then the honorable whoever he was is just up there spitting game about how this is going to be the experience of a lifetime. So by the time this guy's done, and he's dressed, you know, pretty casually, not in a robe, but, and no gavel. So he's just up there, and he's got the energy, man. He's got the pitch. He's got the sell. By the time my guy's done, I am hyped. I am fired up. I'm like, damn, put me in, coach. I mean, judge. I mean, this dude was freaking Vince Lombardi behind the podium. By the time this judge was done, I was ready to run through a brick wall in order to be a juror. The hell oh, yeah. I was. But he did do a little bit maybe to open my mind up some. Just not enough for me to want to do it. Still didn't want to do it. So now it's maybe 8:30 in the morning, right? They've gotten us ready for 45 minutes. They've already said ahead of time, everybody be prepared to be here until 5 p.m. Remember, we were there at 7:45. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I grind this thing out. I grind out a full day until 5 p.m. I get a bunch of work done. I do not get my name called. That's a dub. Miss one show, get a bunch of prep done, clear for another year. So, I set up my base of operations. I mark out my territory like those losers at Starbucks do when they break out their lappers, their printers, their mice, and their external speakers. And I start my workday. And I'm feeling it, man. So far, so good. Now it's 9:30. They come back on mic. They tell us we've earned a half-hour break. We can do whatever we want until 10 o'clock, even leave and retrieve something from our car, which is about a quarter of a mile away, if we want to, but be back at 10 sharp. There's going to be an updated announcement. So I go get a cup of ass, literal ass from the cafeteria. Maybe the worst cup of coffee I've ever had in my life. I don't even make it back to what I'm now calling my office before I throw it away. a cup of ass. 10 o'clock rolls around. They tell us now, here's your update. There is no update. In fact, y'all can float. You can walk around. You can leave the room. We will alert you when necessary. You're good. I'm all right. No news is good news. 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock. I'm getting stuff done. It's almost lunchtime. I know at lunchtime, they're going to, quote, cut us loose for another break, right? Not that I'm going anywhere, but I'm pretty happy with things. But then the mood changed. The tone changed. It's 11:30. It sounds official. They're calling everybody back in. I'm thinking, oh, hell no. Here we go. I knew it. I knew I was going to get assigned to a case. I knew it. The person with the mic says there is, in fact, a case this morning. Or there was, but both sides decided to settle. You can all leave.
Yeah!
We can all leave? Just like that? All of us? Yes, all of you.
Hell.
You have completed your jury duty. And I'm like, oh, hell yes. Hell yes. One case? That's it? I thought there were like a million cases going on. Anyway, I was not about to argue that incredible bit of fortune. We're all happy as hell. Except for those two losers who really did want to be there. Man, I jumped in that big-ass line, turned in my big-ass laminated juror pass, got my big-ass certification of completion, and I bounced the hell out of there before lunch. What I'm saying to you is, what a glorious morning at the Santa Ana Courthouse. And that's why I was not here the Monday after that unbelievable weekend. I was not at the beach. I was not on my hog. Dodger Jano and I were not riding around. I had an actual reason, an excused absence. It was a good reason. Let's just be glad it was only one show, yo. Let's just be glad it was only one show. So yes, clones, you're lucky. It was a one-dayer. It was not a trial of the century. You know, one of those crazy murder cases where I'd get sequestered in some motel in the middle of nowhere for months. No outside contact of any kind. Can't see the fam. No TV. No phone. Just a bunch of DVDs. I can't leave the room except to get bussed to the courthouse. No Instagram. No Twitter. Can you imagine day 87? And me and the 11 others are still deliberating. Shout out to that judge, too. Do you know how badass of a pitch man you have to be to get people hyped to be on jury duty? I was ready to be the head juror. Foreman in the box, yo. You get to be here. I mean, I know that phrase, but still an all-time Jedi mind trick. It'd be like being a dentist and telling a patient before a root canal, hey, you don't have to do this. You get to do this. Or how would you like to be the guy lubing you up for colonoscopy? You don't have to do this. You get to do this. Next time I'm sitting here listening to you and your terrible phone calls, I'm just going to tell myself my affirmations. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. I don't have to take these calls. I get to take these calls. Anyway, that's why. That's why I missed yesterday. You think I would choose that over this? Come on, man. Get real. Linear Messenger. Back so soon, Jimmy? Let me guess. The glove don't fit, so you had to acquit. I'm telling you, they had me out of there before lunch. Good day. Jumped on the Pelly. Rode out 27 miles. Yeah, I did. Got on the hill. Hiked the hill. Got back in time to watch the games. It's a hell of a good day. But no, I did not get 15 cents a mile, and they did not pay you. They don't do it for the first day. When we come back. Okay, there you have it. Are you happy? I didn't just decide I didn't want to work on a Monday. I did my civic duty. I served. Will Brinson next. Kevin Weeks, top of the hour. And then a lot more to get to, including my thoughts on the Derby. I can't wait to talk about that, even though that was Saturday. Here is a sports update. Here is Andrew Bo.
Live from Southern California, This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so now you know. Now you know why I was not here yesterday. I had a good reason. Coming up, top of the hour, Kevin Weeks joins us to talk some NHL postseason. But we are joined right now by a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick Six podcast. And you know he's a very good friend of the program. The schedule for the upcoming NFL season is starting to trickle out. We get into that and some of the offseason movement. Will Brinson is my guest. Will, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I kind of like the idea of you being the leader of the jury, like the foreman of the jury, and just like delivering, like kind of do it as a radio show with like scathing hot takes about various opinions jury members have.
Now, see, that's the thing, though. I appreciate you saying that, Will, but just like this show where the listeners think they're much better at it than me, there's no way those 11 would have been better at that than me, but they would have thought so, and I would have let them. But we'll never know, at least not for another year. So let me ask you this. We get the full schedule release, but we already know some games right now. Will, this morning we get news of a Christmas Day game. Denver v. the Rams, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
Oh, man. I mean, well, first of all, it's great that we get the CBS synergy flowing through the show here and pumped to, you know, have those guys on the call, of course. But we also get to double down on Nickelodeon, which means we get Christmas Day slime. We get an MVP, which Russell Wilson is like the perfect MVP, where he would take it seriously, not be embarrassed like Mitchell Trubisky. And in all seriousness, from a football perspective, it's a great matchup. I mean, I think there's a non-zero chance that's who we see in the Super Bowl come the end of the year, because, you know, you look at the NFC and with the departure of guys like Russ, and all, you know, all this talent that's flooded over to the AFC, the Rams have to be feeling pretty good about their chances to at least have a shot at repeating by getting back to the Super Bowl, because the conference is a little more watered down than it was last season. And then, you know, as far as Russ goes, like that Broncos team, we've been saying for 2 or 3 years, all they need is that quarterback and they're going to take a huge step forward. I do have some reservations that Russ will come in and just, you know, dominate out of the gate. But he's the type of guy that puts a chip on his shoulder where, you know, he's been ditched by Seattle. There are people who are questioning whether he's still, you know, a top-tier, you know, elite-level quarterback. And he's got the weapons on that offense in Denver. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton. I mean, they got, you know, KJ Hamler's coming back. They got some guys they can cook with. And I think we'd see a pretty good season from Russ. It wouldn't shock me if he made a deep run.
Will Brinson's joining us. Will, you hit on two things I wanted to ask you about. Are the Rams a good value? It sounds like you think so. And we talked, or I was going to ask you about Denver with Russ. What about Seattle? Seattle did not draft a quarterback. They did not trade for one of the vets who were on the market. Last week, Pete Carroll was saying things like, yeah, well, if Drew Locke were in the draft this year, he would have been the first quarterback taken. Now he's saying that Geno Smith is the first-ring quarterback. What have you made of how he and they are handling their quarterback situation, and how do you think it ultimately plays out there?
I mean, in all honesty, Jim, there's nothing worse than doing radio hits and being asked about Seattle, because I have no idea what they're doing. Like, I don't get what they're doing.
I'm not sure they do either.
I know, right? I mean, Pete Carroll's a 72-year-old, very energetic Silver Fox guy, but he's still older, and I don't know that he's, you know, is he there for a full reboot? You know, we understand that this team wants to, or like my best guess is that they want to try to recreate, like, the 2011, 2012, 2013 run, which is nice in theory. But the problem is you have to land a bunch of late-round picks that blossom into elite defenders. You have to get a guy like Earl Thomas on your team. You have to get a guy like Russell Okung on your team. You then have to land a third-round pick as a potential budding game manager franchise quarterback type. And everything has to – you need beast mode in there too. And so, like, I think they're trying to run it back the way that it worked originally. And to do so with Drew Locke and Kenneth Walker – and a better offensive line than they've had the last few years, but also I just have questions about the defense and the run game, because you want to be a great defense and you want to be a lethal run game, but I'm not sure that the pieces are all there to pull it off. And all credit to, you know, Pete Carroll is a great head coach. If they pull it off, more kudos to him, but I just don't understand what the plan is.
I agree with you, Will. I think that he's got great energy for a guy his age or anyway. Very, very good head coach. But rebuilding around a 71-year-old head coach instead of a 33-year-old quarterback who I think has got game left, to me, is kind of curious to say the least. Will Brinson joining us. Will, what do you think the next few months are going to look like for Baker Mayfield?
Jim, I thought, you know, speaking of Seattle, too, Baker did that interview, whatever podcast that was, and apologies to the guy. I think he's famous. But, you know, he did the podcast with him, and his dog's like laying there on the couch looking comatose, and Baker's like, well, yeah, you know, a few weeks ago I would have said I'm going to the Colts, but now it's probably just going to be Seattle. And then Pete Carroll the next day goes out and signs Geno Smith as if to send a message to Baker Mayfield, like, you're not just coming to Seattle, buddy. And I mean, I think it's going to be weird for Baker because the Panthers clearly got involved with the Browns during the draft and did the same sort of thing that Seattle did when it became apparent that the Browns were not willing to, you know, negotiate at a reasonable level. The Panthers walked away and then just promptly drafted Matt Corral and said, we're out of the Baker sweepstakes. So now there's almost nowhere for him to go where he would actually be a starter or compete to be a starter in 2022. I think it's possible it ends up actually being a you know, quote unquote good thing for him. Like, let's say Tampa Bay says, all right, you know, we got Tom Brady. You know, we drafted Kyle Trask. We have Blaine Gabbert there. But, you know, maybe Baker is a great reclamation project to sit behind Tom for a year. And they go and get him. I don't know that they'll trade for him. I think at some point the Browns are just going to have to, like, eat the cost of having traded for Deshaun Watson and realizing that you can't bring Baker Mayfield to camp and have him compete with Deshaun Watson and have him out there. It's just a weird message to send. It's just a weird look for everyone involved, and it's hard to imagine them trying to pull that off.
I agree with you. Will Brinson joining us. That's going to be that is like the worst-case scenario, and you know they weren't thinking that that was even a possibility, yet here we are. Will, what about your expectations for Trey Lance this season? How do you see the 49ers handling that throughout the year? Or actually throughout the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, Jim, is actually a little bit easier than the Baker situation because, you know, we know the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan specifically, and Debo Samuel, by the way. Like, I wouldn't sleep on Debo's love for Jimmy G as part of the reason he wants a deal. I think that they can say, okay, Jimmy's hurt. We can't trade him. You know, they have the problem with the salary cap issues of, you know, needing to sign the draft picks, although they don't really have a bunch of high draft picks that will cost a lot. They have less than $1 million in salary cap space. They'd love to trade Jimmy and roll with Trey, I think. But the problem is, you know, you don't want to just let Jimmy G go for free when he's a reasonable cost, you know, high-end veteran. A team like the Panthers, I think, would still like to get Jimmy Garoppolo in there. You know, maybe there are other teams that would be interested in bringing him in to compete. I think the Seahawks would like to sign him as a free agent. I can't see those two teams trading. I think the 49ers will let this play out as long as they possibly can and keep him on the roster and let him get healthy and see if they can deal him. And if they can stay under the salary cap and get into training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if they just let him compete with Trey Lance and push him a little bit, because I still have at least a little bit of reservation that Kyle Shanahan is completely comfortable with going all Trey Lance this season.
Well, I agree with that entirely. Will Brinson joining us on there. There's ain't doubt about that. Let me ask you about the Bills. Will, they had their hearts ripped out, of course, in the final 13 seconds against Kansas City. We've seen some teams suffer a loss like that, I mean a gutting loss like that, and never bounce back. How do you see Buffalo responding?
It'll be interesting because it looks like, Jim, and the great Sam Farmer of the LA Times reported on, I think today, actually, that the Bills are likely going to be the opener against the Rams on the Thursday night game to kick off the NFL season. Huge game, right? Fun game. And then the Bills are going to be part of the Monday Night Football doubleheader against the Titans the following week, which we already know is going to go down. So, you know, they got to be ready to get off the mat and perform. You know, I think there are two things that maybe, like, when you think about what happened with the Bills last year. One, I thought, you know, Bill Belichick in that first game where he went full Navy on them and ran the ball down their throats, and then Sean McDermott lost his cool about Belichick coaching them up, and then the next week, you know, they're down big to Tampa, and he's, like, crying to Tracy Wolfson at halftime for some reason. You know, that was like, man, is this team soft and fragile mentally? Because that would be really surprising. But then they managed to rally and get it all together and make that deep playoff run. So I think they'll bounce back. You know, they're a team that Brandon Bean's done an incredible job building out that roster. McDermott's a very good head coach, and Josh Allen is just a stud. The one reservation I'd have about Buffalo is that Brian Daboll leaving. You know, Ken Dorsey, by all accounts, going to be a great offensive coordinator. But, you know, will there be some bumps in the road to start, particularly with these high-profile games and that transition as offensive coordinator?
Well, Brinson, my guest. Well, one last thought. Philadelphia brought in A.J. Brown during the draft. Given how they turned their season around last year, what do you make of the roster going into this season, and how high do you think their ceiling is?
So, I'm a Matt, I mean, everybody likes him, but I'm a, just a, like, A.J. Brown is, like, up there, like, in the hierarchy of players I love, with members of my family. And Jordan Davis is maybe my favorite player in this draft class. So the Eagles got outstanding marks for me on day one for their moves. And frankly, Jim, I went and bet them during the first round of the draft to win the NFC East, to win the NFC, and to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't think that's happening. You know, it's a bit of a long shot, like 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, and I think 18-1 maybe to win the NFC. But when you look at the conference, I mean, and you look at the division, like, specifically, you know, Dallas didn't get a lot better this offseason. If anything, they got worse. The Giants have made it clear, you know, with this latest move. Like, I like what the Giants have done, but they've made it clear they are rebuilding. And then Washington's trotting out Carson Wentz. I mean, I feel like the Eagles, I mean, 2-1 or more to win that division is great value. And you get in the dance, and I know people are down on Jalen Hurts, but the guy's improved, I feel like, since he got to the NFL. You know, he settled into one system. And they have a ton of depth on the offensive line and defensive line. Like, they are – like, Jordan Davis is probably not going to play 100% of the snaps for him. Andre Dillard, their former first-round pick, probably not going to be, you know, maybe not a starting tackle. So they're loaded on the lines. They've got a quarterback that has shown a lot of upside performance-wise. And now they got the wide receivers and the skill guys. I think this is a really good football team.
And this is why I go to this guy as often as I do, a CBS Sports senior writer, host of the Pick 6 podcast, and a dude who's just got it. Will, great job. Appreciate you. Thanks for picking me up. Always good to have you on the show, Will. Thanks.
Always fun, Jim. Talk to you later, man.
Always fun, dude. Always fun. Will Brinson is one of my favorite dudes. He's a funny guy, knows exactly what he's talking about, brings the content, brings the energy. Always a good time. Sniper. When we come back, we start hour number two, and Kevin Weeks will be joining us, NHL Network analyst. He's all over the postseason, and you've got four series that resume tonight, all tied up at two games apiece. We'll hit that. And yes, I've got thoughts on the Derby from Saturday that I still want to get to, and phone lines are open right now. You're in the jungle. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.